sing it, and then Kyle does this, and he does this funny thing, whatever I do, that you could probably mimic, and you get into this routine. And I wonder if our lives are the same where, you know, your day is day by day the same. Yeah, you had transformation happen in the past, but you're kind of in a routine. You know how work works. You know who you talk to. You know what you talk about. You know how your conversations go in life, how it works with the family, how it goes, what you're always involved in with church, what you maybe never are involved with church, whatever it is. And so I want to ask you to do something right now to illustrate this. I want you to get out of your seat. And now if you're not able to, if health-wise you're not able to do this, please don't. This is just for illustration. Okay, maybe move a seat over. But everybody else, I want you to get out and at least move a section. So the people from the top, I want to ask you to come sit down. And you can't, if you usually sit in one spot and today you moved into an uncomfortable spot, okay, don't go back to your spot. Okay? Kyle just, that's from the Lord. I can be comfortable again. I want you to move at least a section, okay? So I want you to do that right now. A section. I know where some of you sit, so we'll wait all morning. Really funny. I can't honestly, I have to preach this way right now, I think. I'm in the same spot, that's right. I noticed that some of you, though, that sit in the front row, you just moved over from the front row. That's interesting. Right on. Okay. Now, with this in mind, and I hope this is uncomfortable a little bit for you. When you come to faith in Christ, when you understand the mercy of Christ, you're transformed. Things are never the same. And you see things differently. There's a massive shift. Let's face it, you come from death to life. You come, you're under darkness, really. Satan's your father without knowing it. Now you have a heavenly father. And you see things differently. You have the Spirit, which you never had before. You understand things in your life that are exposed that you never understood. Spiritual things, you're saved. And we tend to be so excited about that because, quite honestly, the change is so massive and we can't help talking to people about it. Quite honestly, we get involved in things and too quickly, perhaps, and fumble our ways through it and make mistakes. But it's amazing. And in view of God's mercy, I believe Paul has told us to continue in action. And he says, don't be conformed. He says, separate yourself from the world. Don't fall into comforts. Don't fall into the comfort of the world. He says, be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Be transformed by me. Be transformed by the word, he says. By God himself, right? Seek out my will, not your own will. Don't play it so safe. And we come to trust in Christ. Certainly, if you understood then that salvation and you were transformed, then there was a point where you had to trust Christ, right? And then somewhere down the line, this happens to myself, and it's embarrassing when I think about it. I come to believe that God is now out. I could trust him for salvation, but he's out now to make me uncomfortable, to do something that I don't want to do, to trick me, maybe to hurt me, to embarrass me. And I find these things that they're lies that I struggle with. Connecting to ministry is living life different, and it's going to be tough. You know, Christ himself sweat drops of blood in the garden. It was brutal, but it was good. It was God's good will to crush him. We needed that to happen. There are things where you're going to feel like you're sweating drops of blood, perhaps. But if it's the Lord's will, it's good. And he says that. He says, my will is good. Why would he have to say that? I mean, Does anyone think God's will is really not good? And he goes in detail. He says it's good. Good, acceptable, and perfect. Quite honestly, I think on this, it's knowable. Isn't that incredible? God's will is knowable. The will of God is knowable. He's not saying it's not knowable. He's saying it is. But it's not just personal. So as you seek to action, you will discern the will of God. But it's not just personal. And this is to stretch you maybe the last stretching. Verse 3, and I'll read it again. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, do not think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. Now, he's not saying you have a personal relationship with me and you're going to run into people in church. You're just going to rub shoulders with people, so don't judge them. Don't think yourself more highly than you ought. No. What he's saying is that we are a corporate body. When you come to Christ, it is intensely personal. Christ himself substitutes for you, your person. But it is actually far more than that. It's corporate. And we think this is extra. John MacArthur was listening to a sermon of his, and he said something I thought spoke well to this. He said, everyone has a personal relationship with Jesus. It's very personal, but some are very bad relationships, right? And we know that. Everyone has to stand before Christ one day, some to hell and some to life with him. So everyone has a personal relationship. What they don't have is a corporate relationship. When you come to Christ, this is something the world doesn't have, a corporate body relationship with God Almighty. We serve together. This is why we're called a family, called the bride. We're called branches on a vine. We're called the body. And all of it is a purpose to connect to ministry to do what? To disciple others, that others would know our God. And significant again, the last things that Christ said, and it wasn't because he was running out of things to say before he ascended to the Father. Significant, he says, Matthew 28:19, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Make disciples, he says. Acts 1:8, but you will receive power, so it's from God, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. We're all called to make disciples. We're not all called to be pastors, but we're all called to make disciples. And it's not simply an idea. I used to think this was just talking about witnessing, but it's not. Working together as a body, and this includes the janitor. If you're the janitor in the church, you're working towards this end. You're connected to ministry, using your gifts to make disciples, to disciple others through your gifts, even if you're not a teacher. So to close this, to close these thoughts on this point in our mission statement, in this passage, to say this, connecting to ministry will be about people. Okay, it's absolutely going to involve people. It's not just a personal relationship. Okay, it's not just things like, and this is what we struggle against, you know, Facebook, friends, you know, the idea that you can have 1,000 friends and never talk to them or even see their face. You know, we've also got things that pull us away from this corporate idea of fellowship. And I'm not saying these things are bad. I'm not even saying Facebook is bad entirely. But it's great for posting pictures when you shoot something in hunting season and freaking people out. But you look at YouTube, right? You can worship on YouTube. Man, you can click any song in the entire universe on YouTube. You can listen to pastors. You can pick what you figure is the best pastor in the universe. There's your pastor. Awesome. This guy doesn't stutter. Perfect. Whatever it is. We've got resources galore, and we're consumers, right? And I'm telling you that to be a Christian involves, you're going to have to put up with each other and work alongside each other and start to view each other differently. When you're like, I get involved, but I just don't know what the will of God is. I mean, I got a problem with so-and-so. Well, the will of God would be that you get right with so-and-so. I mean, it's tough work to work together as a body, but the gates of hell can't prevail. There is nothing more fantastic and powerful in how God works than through his own body, right? Like, I don't know. This is fantastic news to me. I can tell you this, there's not a believer out there that's been 50 years out west in the wilderness doing remarkable things all by himself for God, never talking to anybody. There might be someone out there, but they're crazy, right? They're a crazy man or woman. We work with people. It's the nature of being a Christian. And I want to motivate you to action this morning by the mercy of God, to know that you have been changed. If you've come to know the mercy of Christ, then you're holy, you're acceptable, don't forget that, you're transformed, and then continue to live out that reality. And lastly then too, living out that reality, this is good news. God's will is knowable. This is fantastic. He has gifted you with his spirit in a specific way, like members of a body, right? Different parts of a body. He has done that for you. You don't do that for you. He has done it. He's created works advance for you to do. That is remarkable. If this wasn't true, if I wasn't convinced of this, I would not be here right now on stage. There's no hope that I would be up here in a billion years. But God is the one that's done this. I find this fantastically encouraging this morning. Isn't that remarkable? So in view of God's mercy, I do want to ask you to get out of your spot, whatever it is in life. Get uncomfortable. Whatever you figure your Christian walk looked like, keep seeking the Lord. Ask him for new gifts. And maybe for some of you, and I know certainly it has to be the case, is that you need to get uncomfortable and repent and come to Christ and say, I'm going to wrestle with the mercy of God. And I do, and I believe it, and I repent, and God, save me, transform me. And then for us that have, then get out of your comfort zone and connect to ministry, disciple others. So start sharing Christ. Share the full gospel. Try to you know, confuse someone so bad that they would never go to heaven with the gospel, the truth of God's word. Guess what? You won't. Like, tell them the unashamed gospel. You know, sensitive to the Spirit, proclaim your God. Look after the kids in the nursery. Come to that morning prayer time, corporately. Pray with us. Seek God. If you're coming to the prayer time and you know, you have a real heart for children, look after our kids so they don't, you know, kill us while we're praying. You know, run around in the kitchen with knives, and if you could look after them, it'd be great. Teach in a small group. Okay? Figure out what in the world we should do with this building and help us out. Come to elder training. We got elder training 4th Tuesday of the month. Come out and figure out, God, how have you gifted me? Whenever I sit down with someone, I'm very careful to say this, and some of you know this. I always say, look, I'm not trying to get you into something. I'm trying to figure out, how has God gifted you? Because that's freeing. Because if he's gifted you, let's get you going. Right? Now, if I'm trying to rope you into something, that's different. So come to elder training. If you have a heart for that at all, but you're terrified, great. I'm scared too. So come on out and we can just hold each other. Okay? Come out to elder training. Pursue membership like the Houstons have. And so I hope you're encouraged by this. This is what it means to connect to ministry as we disciple others together. So we're like way out of time, but we're going to worship hopefully still. I do want to pray just with this as the worship team's coming up, so please bow with me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this news this morning. Father, we've called it to connect to ministry, Lord, and really it's discipling others. Father, it's serving you and your kingdom. Father, we know that through Christ you transform, you make us holy and acceptable, and Father, it only makes sense that we would continue in that. But Lord, it takes great courage. And Father, we often turn it to be about ourselves. Sometimes it's false humility. Father, I pray that we would know that what you speak is true. Your will is good and pleasing and acceptable. And Father, that we can serve you then with the gifts that you've given us and serve together. We want to see your kingdom come. And Father, give us the courage to do this. And would you give us the courage to spur each other on when we see gifts, to be brave enough to say, hey, man, we need you to serve with us. We need you on the front lines, you know, in the trenches. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you would not let your word fall void and complete what you would be pleased to complete this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.